Hello, everyone. Welcome back into the teaching series through Proverbs. We are now on Proverbs 15. Again, if you've just joined us, there is going to be 31 in all, as there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was written by Solomon and said to be the wisest person that ever lived. And so in a lot of ways, he shared his wisdom and thoughts on life, really led by the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to take some time to go through this to unpack truth. Why? Well, because I believe in our world today, in our culture today, we have an absence of truth. What we do have is an abundance of opinion. We have an abundance of so-and-so's opinion, or the media's opinion, or a politician's opinion, or your friend's opinion, or your own opinion, or my opinion. And what we have a lack of is truth, God's word, which has stood the test of time. So I just felt led to go through this and share this with you. By the way, I'm not a pastor. I'm just like you, an ordinary person. I have a couple financial companies, and I just really felt led to share some of these things to hopefully spur on truth for you as you lead yourself or lead a group or get folks together to dive into this. But let's pray before we jump in. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to access your word. We just pray that you would speak to our hearts as we read through it and meditate on your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, my encouragement, if you've been joining us at each series, is to get your own printed physical Bible. I know in our technology era today, it's so easy to have the Bible app. That's great. Those are good things to have. But the challenge with the phone is with all these notifications and little things that can come on your phone, pings, it can distract you from your mind focusing on truth. So I'm going to challenge you to do that. Also, some of these chapters can be a little bit longer than others. And so if along the way, if you're leading a group, you have a bunch of guys that you got together as a Bible study, or ladies, or a family, or whatever, go ahead and feel free to press pause and just talk about, whenever you feel led to press pause, talk about what's been discussed so far, the verse has been read, what stood out to you. This is so important. Remember, as I've shared before, it's not how much of the word we get through, rather it's how much gets into you. So whether you're listening to this on podcast, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you're listening, make sure that you take time to do that, getting your practical Bible. Again, and always the highlighter, right? To highlight what stands out to you. Verse 15 starts with, I think, a really great verse. It says, "A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare." I always remember, as you know, Zig Ziglar talked about the two-minute rule, which was when you're in a confrontation with someone that is, like, you know, verbally maybe venomous at you or with you, or maybe just being deceived themselves. What he said is, he said, you know, typically a person, it's going to take them about 2 minutes to get out what they have in them. They speak and speak, and every time you interrupt them, it resets that mental two-minute clock. But you just need to let them go, let them flow, let them get it out. Don't take offense to it. And then when you respond, the goal is to respond with gentle words, thoughtful words, right? Words of wisdom. There's other verses in the Bible that talks about that by doing that, you'll heap, you know, coals, hot coals on your enemy's head, so to speak. In other words, it's something that they can't understand. Why is someone responding this way? I'm harsh and going after you with my words, and you're just calm and collected and kind of thinking about your words as you respond back. Now, I got to tell you, this is not something that I always do well. And if you answer the question of if you always do this well, I'll ask you that question. Do you always do it well? If the answer is yes, that you always respond softly and kindly every single time, you're probably not being honest with yourself. Because I think sometimes in our hearts, whether we speak it in our words, we're in a place where we have that little bit of anger inside of us. And so we have to control what our response is. Now, remember, the goal here is to improve. It's not perfection. And the goal is to improve you, not your neighbor, but to improve you. So I love that it starts with this. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words makes tempers flare. Verse 2, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness." I think it's interesting how it talks about the tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing. So as you are there speaking the truth of God's word to other people, the Bible says that we're to speak the truth in love. You know, there's what's called the love chapter in the New Testament, where it talks about love is patient, love is kind, Love remembers no wrong. You know, these kinds of things. Forgets what's in the past, moves forward. I'm paraphrasing. You can go read it yourself. But the bottom line is, here it says the tongue of the wise makes knowledge, in this case, appealing. We're called to let our speech be seasoned with salt, as the word says. And we're called to be sharing this truth in love. Share the truth in love, not in you should be doing, I can't believe you did, what's wrong with you? Because that's not love. That's not the Holy Spirit. I mean, can you imagine Jesus himself? Why did he come and die, by the way? Well, he died because we could not live a perfect life. He needed to be our sin substitute. Sin is real. It matters. It's a serious issue with God the Father, and it keeps us from heaven, eternal life with God. So Jesus was sent as our substitute, died in our place, and we accept him, we can become saved. But can you imagine Jesus on the cross saying, I can't believe these people. I've come down to earth. I've left my heavenly abode, if you will, and I'm coming down to earth, and I'm going through all these trials and tribulations. They're accusing me of things that I have never done. I've lived a perfect life, and now I'm going to die a treacherous, torturous death for these people that don't even want it. Well, that's not what Jesus did. In fact, when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is making knowledge appealing, making truth appealing. Now, he's speaking to God the Father, but the point is it's a great example and testimony for us of saying, wow, how do we interact in seasons where maybe we feel wronged? And by the way, we have to check our own minds, because sometimes if we think it, it may not be true. Remember that. Verse 3, the Lord is watching everywhere. Remember, the Bible says that God is omnipresent. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at one time. We can't understand that because we're human. We're finite. But he's everywhere at all times. The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. Now, I know a lot of you, when you read that or see that, you might be like, well, yeah, well, why does God allow all this evil to happen in the world? I got to tell you, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Why did God allow Adam and Eve to eat the fruit that caused us all to be born in sin? I don't know. Other than the fact that in order for there to be free will, not a robotic love, where you are designed and made and you will love God whether you want to or not, that would be a robotic love. God didn't create that. God allowed free will for humans, for you and I, to be able to make our own choices and make our own decisions. And he allowed that so that way we could willingly accept him. You know what that means, if we can willingly accept him? That also means that we have the ability to willingly reject him. And when we reject him, we are choosing evil. I want you to think about that. This is where free will comes in. And that's where a lot of the evil in the world, really, that's where it comes from. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So why could God shut all this stuff off in a moment? Yes. But at the end of the day, he allows these things to occur, I believe, so that way we can say, time out, in life, I want the things of the Lord. I don't want that. And these are not caused by God. These are caused by evil. These are caused by human flesh. These are caused by human desire, by selfishness in a lot of ways. And I love the fact that, you know, the Bible talks in other places as well. It talks about what the enemy meant for evil. God can take that and turn it and use it for good. So a lot of life is about our mental perspective and what we're thinking, what we're seeing, and whether or not we are truly allowing God's word to resonate in our hearts, resonate in our minds, to be in a place where we're truly thinking about, okay, what does God say about this issue? And we should look at that with every issue of the day. So verse 4, it says, gentle words are a tree of life. By the way, I highlighted this in my Bible, verse 4, okay? Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Only a fool despises a parent's discipline. Whoever learns from correction is wise. If you're doing this as a group, parents with kids, hey, kids, listen. Don't despise your parents' discipline. especially if it's based on godliness. And hey, another newsflash, your parents aren't going to be perfect, right? They're going to get it wrong from time to time. I remember there was a guy that I talked to once when he was talking about how he thought about his parents, and then he expressed this with his daughters, and they were teenagers. He said, girls, please forgive your mom and I, because we're going to get it wrong from time to time. We're not trying to, but we are. We're human. But I also want you to know, this is the first time we've ever raised kids. And I thought about that, and I thought, wow, that's really profound when you think about it. And it made me think about my parents and my dad and my mom. And dude, did they get it right every time? No. But they did a lot of great things. And it was the first time they've ever raised children. So, and they were only doing what they knew based on what they had learned. So it's the process, hopefully, of generationally improving. That is the goal. Constantly improving, constantly getting better, constantly moving more towards godliness and less towards selfishness and less towards focusing on ourselves and pointing the finger at others. Verse 6 says, there is a treasure in the house of the godly, but the earnings of the wicked bring trouble. The lips of the wise give good advice. The heart of a fool has none to give. The Lord, now I have this highlighted too, verse 8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but he delights in the prayers of the upright. Verse 9, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue godliness. You know, I love this verse here because it doesn't say he loves the godly, even though there's verses about being godly and godliness and all this stuff in the Bible. What the verse says here, and don't miss this, he says he loves those who what? Who pursue godliness. Boy, I think this is so important because we can test our heart to really know, what are we pursuing? What are you pursuing? What am I pursuing? Only you can make that determination in and of your heart. What are you actually going after? What do you think about? If you're a kid, a teenager, maybe gaming is what you think about all the time. If you're older, maybe it's making money or vacation, or maybe it's buying a nice house or buying a nice car or whatever else it may be. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Remember this thought, materialism is not how much you have, rather it's how much has you. Don't forget that. Materialism is not how much you have, it's how much has you. By the way, this might be a great place to just press pause on the video with your group and just or as you're listening to the podcast, and just take a minute and evaluate yourself and just ask yourself honestly, like just don't move past this quickly. What am I pursuing in my life? Well, what are my thoughts chasing after? What do I spend time doing? Am I pursuing God? Am I pursuing growth? Am I pursuing development? And this, by the way, can shake out in several different capacities, right? You might say, okay, what does pursuing God have to do with eating healthy? What does pursuing God have to do with working out or physically being active? Well, I can tell you that Paul talked about in the New Testament as far as like beating his body and working his body in a way that he could live the life that Christ has designed and called him to do, disciplining himself. In other words, not taking the easy approach. When you eat healthy and when you work out, your mind releases endorphins, you think more clearly, you're more positive, and you're in a situation in a lot of ways where you are honoring the Lord. And that's a good thing. So when you think about this, in all reality, it's the idea of pursuit, what you're pursuing after. That's the kind of the rule of thumb there. Again, I want to highly encourage you to press pause along the journey. You know, take a minute, make notes, really evaluate your life and ask yourself, what am I pursuing? Like we talked about, so important. Because if you don't do that, by the way, you'll just run through things. You're like, yeah, it sounds good. I need to think about that. Maybe I need to shift and tweak a little bit. And remember, it's all about small movements along the way, just like driving a car, a little bit here, a little bit there, not sharp jerks, not big jerks, but small movements along the way. Verse 10, here we go. Verse 10, whoever abandons the right path will be severely disciplined. Whoever abandons the right path will be severely disciplined. Whoever hates correction will die. Even death and destruction hold no secrets from the Lord. How much more does he know than the human heart, right? I mean, God knows everything. He's omniscient, omni, meaning all, science, meaning knowledge, right? He's omniscient. He knows everything, right? I love, I can remember the pastor that used to said this one time. He said, you know, the Bible says God's ways and thoughts are not our thoughts, like our thoughts and our ways, right? And it's like God doesn't think to figure things out. Like he said, Robert Morris, that's who it was. He said, nothing has ever occurred to God, you know, where God's like, huh, you know what I just thought about? No, because God knows everything at once, which is crazy for us to think about. I mean, we literally think to figure things out, and God does not think like that. Verse 11, even death and destruction hold no secrets from the Lord. How much more does he know the human heart? Verse 12, mockers hate to be corrected, so they stay away from the wise. Isn't that interesting? Here's a great question for yourself. Do you find yourself straying away from wisdom? Do you find yourself straying away from godly correction, you know, where you need to tweak here, you need to tweak there? I want to challenge you to try and not do that. Be open to correction. Now, sometimes people trying to correct you may not know what's best for you per se, but those that sometimes that do, if you stray away from that, if you slow down your life and really press pause and think, you know, like, you know what, this is an area that I need to grow in. We want to lean into that, not walk away from it. Verse 13, a glad heart makes a happy face and a broken heart crushes the spirit. I've highlighted 14 in my Bible. It says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. Wow, that is so much like our society today. Think about it, everyone. You know, we get our phones and we scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. And, you know, who cares who's dating who out there or what's happening over there or what's happening here? The reality of it is we are so focused as a society, as a world sometimes, in consuming all of this information that literally has nothing to do and adds no value to our lives, and yet we spend time, energy, and effort thinking about it, reading about it, talking about it. Shouldn't it make sense, or doesn't it make sense to slow down and say, gosh, why don't we actually search for knowledge? That's why it says a wise person is hungry for knowledge. Verse 15, it says, for the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. Now notice it says the happy heart, life is a continual feast. Meaning that we're in a situation where when we work on our heart, when we work on our us, we work, really it starts a lot of ways with our minds. What we think about, what we meditate on, right? That's can what help our heart be happy. And it says it's like a feast in life. I think that's interesting because when we think about that, you know, I mean, when you think about having a feast, I mean, everybody likes having a feast in a lot of ways, but it's important. A wise person is hungry for knowledge. We read that, but I want to read again. While the fool feeds on trash, verse 16, better to have little with fear of the Lord than to have a great treasure in inner turmoil. Verse 17, a boil of vegetables with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate. Thought that was kind of interesting. In other words, it's not about what you're eating, it's about who you're with. And boy, when you're with people, it's so important for us to be thinking about how can I look for the good in this person? That's a great little test. How can I look for the good in them? Instead of focusing on what annoys you about that person, instead of focusing on what you're frustrated with about that person, try and shift your perspective and say, okay, how would God see this person? Holy Spirit, give me the lens to be able to see this person in the way that you see them. See their positive qualities, to see what they're good at, see what they're growing in, see, you know, some of the things that they've done to add value to your life in small ways that maybe you've missed before because of the lens that you have. And then you enjoy the vegetables much more than the steak with someone that you hate. Verse 18, a hot-tempered person starts fights. A cold-tempered person stops them. Verse 19, a lazy person's ways is blocked with briars, but the path of the upright is an open highway. Verse 20, sensible children bring joy to their father, and foolish children despise their mother. Foolishness brings joy to those with no sense. A sensible person stays on the right path. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Now, make sure those advisors are godly advisors that know what they're talking about, that actually have expertise in certain areas. Just because somebody puts a Jesus fish on their car or wears a shirt that says, I love Jesus, right, or whatever, doesn't mean they have godly advice. Keep mindful of that. Be mindful of that, right? How do we test all of these things? We test it by getting in the Word, by knowing the truth of God's Word. That's getting into it for ourselves. That's how we figure out what's right. Verse 23, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. The path of life leads upward for the wise. They leave the grave behind. Verse 25, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he protects the property of widows. The Lord detests or hates, is another way to say it, evil plans, but he delights in pure words. Let your speech be pure. Evaluate what you say. Let it be honoring. That's something we all need to grow in. 27, greed brings grief to the whole family, but those who hate bribes will live. Verse 28, I highlighted this one as well. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. We've seen that as a theme through Proverbs. We've seen a little bit of a theme of like really kind of try and pay attention to what we are saying. It's almost like think before you act. You know, you may have heard the old analogy that says measure twice and cut once. Have you ever thought about what that means? Why should they measure twice? Because that way the measurement that they're taking, let's say somebody's cutting a piece of wood for a project, and instead of just measuring quickly and then saying, okay, I think I need something that's 22 inches in length, and you cut the board and now the board's cut, and you're like, oh gosh, it was actually 22 and a half inches. I got to tell you, when you're cutting a piece of wood for a project, that half inch makes all the difference, right? So it's the idea of making sure that you're getting wise words and wise thoughts and wise things along the way. The heart of the godly carefully thinks before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes good for health. Have you ever seen someone where you've connected with them and you can just tell from their body language they're just kind of disgusted or they're just kind of like, you know, causes you to in your heart wonder like what's going on, what's wrong, what's happening, versus connecting with someone and they're smiling and they're just, you can just see in their demeanor, they're just happy to be there. They're happy to be there with you. Boy, it makes a difference. If you listen to constructive, remember we talked about that before in other chapters, if you listen to constructive criticism, listen to that, constructive criticism, if you listen to it, you will be at home among the wise. Now remember, it's all about who is providing that constructive criticism. Where do they come from? Do they know you? Do they know enough about you to really guide you? Are they an expert in a subject or not? Or are they just weighing in on things? Again, I mentioned in other chapters that my wife and I have gone through a lot of counseling, probably continue to go through counseling. It's part of life. We want to grow and develop. And I tell you, there's a lot of people out there, even counselors, that are giving wisdom and advice. Some people aren't even counselors. They don't have the experience. So the question is, should you take that advice to heart and apply it? Maybe not. Maybe not. That doesn't mean that you have to have all these degrees to have good wisdom. But just make sure that you're pondering and weighing where you're getting this advice from. So if you listen to constructive criticism, verse 31, you will be at home among the wise. Verse 32, if you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. Isn't that interesting? So if you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. Verse 33, again, another theme through Proverbs. Fear of the Lord teaches wisdom, and humility precedes or comes before. Humility comes before honor. We've heard a lot in Proverbs about the fear of the Lord. Remember, that's the healthy fear, the reverence of, the respectful kind of fear, where you're saying, I believe God has what is in the best place for my life, for me, and that's why I'm going to respect and reverently fear him and take heed to what he has to say through his word and through his truth. That was Proverbs 15. Hope you enjoyed that. Remember, take some time, take notes, press pause, revisit this with your group or yourself, and share this with someone that needs to hear it via a cell phone or however you want to share it, social, to get the word to them so they can also follow along the journey with you down this journey of receiving, reading, and hopefully then applying truth. All right, be blessed. Talk to you next chapter.